And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, today I am sitting in a box of puppies, my newborn puppies that are actually Wyatt's nieces and nephews. They're just beautiful Rhodesian Ridgebacks. And you may hear a squeak here and there because, of course, they are only about a week old. They're very special puppies. Many of them will turn into service dogs. Hopefully, a bunch of them will be grand champion show dogs. We'll have some best in show winners. But the most important thing is that these dogs grow up healthy and loved and the best dogs in the world, best behaved dogs in the world. Well, how can you, sitting in your living room or sitting in your car or jogging and have me on podcast here, how can you make sure that you have the best dog in the world? Well, one of the great ways to do that is very simply to get a copy of my new book, because I talk about that. You know, so many things are dedicated to having a dog who already has a behavioral issue and training it, you know, retraining it and fixing somebody else's mistake. Well, one of the nice things that I did in my new book, Happens, S-H-H-H, Happens, explanation point, Canine Behavior 101, which you can get on Amazon or you can get on your Kindle. One of the great things about it is it talks about how dogs can be manipulated from the very beginning to becoming the best dog in the world. How do you give the dog what it needs? How do you teach it that you're the leader, that it doesn't have to do that job? How do you teach the dog from the beginning when the dog doesn't even have his little eyes open? Now, I'm here looking at Brandy with six gorgeous, gorgeous Rhodesian Ridgeback puppies. And when I have one of my dogs who is going to come into the whelping box area, one of the main things that I have to do is make sure that she understands from the moment that I take those puppies and help her to deliver them, that those are not really her puppies at all. They're actually my puppies. Now, why do I have to make my female think that they're my puppies and not hers? Well, imagine if I keep a puppy, and now the mama dog thinks that, okay, I get to growl at other dogs, and I get to even growl or bite at other people because those are my puppies. So if I let her think that those are her puppies, yes, of course, she's going to be nursing them and caring for them, but they're my puppies, and they have to be that way, because if the puppies belong to her, then she has a right to protect them and provide for them. And I could be setting myself up for failure in the future if I didn't know that, like most people don't know that. They say, oh, it's really normal for the mama dog to growl or try to bite somebody. Well, yeah, it's normal, but it doesn't mean it's okay. So now imagine that I have Brandy in there for weeks and weeks and weeks, let's say 6 weeks, and now the puppies are weaned, and the puppies are ready to have their life, and they're ready to do all the things that puppies do. Now, think about it for a minute, okay? So if you have the female thinking that it's okay for her to growl at people who come in, or it's okay for her to, you know, do whatever things that she's elected to do, she's going to start, when those puppies are older, protecting them. And what are you going to have? You're going to have a mess on your hands. Those of you who are breeders, who are legitimate show breeders, who go to dog shows and spend all of our money trying to make sure we have the best, most beautiful, healthy, well-behaved, well-mannered, best temperament, and longest living dogs out there. Well, we know what I'm explaining right now, but a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people are what we call backyard breeders or just irresponsible owners, and they don't get their females or their males spayed or neutered. Now, what's the problem with that? Well, as soon as you have a dog who thinks that she or he owns something, then they're able to protect, and if they're able to protect, then they become the leader. So right now, for instance, I happen to be in a box. Well, it's actually a pretty big box. It's a piece of my bedroom. I have a huge bedroom, and it's maybe about a 10 by 4 section here that is allocated for the puppies. Now, it's open, other than the fact that the puppies can't get out. So, you know, basically what happens is that the mama dog is now understanding that she is not in charge, that I'm in charge, because if I'm...
Come here.
So if mama dog thinks for a moment that she's entitled to protect those puppies, I'm setting her and my puppies up for failure. I don't want my puppies to think that it's okay for their mommy to chase the other dogs away, because that could also create behavioral issues in the puppies. So it's a very, very important aspect to making sure that when you have a puppy or you have a dog or you have a female, or you get a dog who's young or puppy, or a new rescue comes into your home, that very first few weeks is when everybody is like, oh, I want to make sure that, you know, the dog loves me. Well, the dog's going to love you, but he doesn't need a best friend. He needs a leader. It's like with children when they start getting into trouble. They don't need a best friend. They need a parent. The parent is the one who determines whether or not that child is going to be a super well-behaved, nice kid, nice person, good person, or whether that child is going to be a spoiled brat who's going to wind up in jail or hated by his or her friends and colleagues. You know, everybody that you say that you've met throughout your life and you say, you know, hey, this is, you know, kind of person who I would have hated to have as a sibling, well, some of those people are... you know, are definitely the spoiled bratty ones that grew up very privileged, and not that everyone does grow up that way, but, you know, that's why it happens. So you have to set rules. You have to teach your dog from the beginning that, hey, honey, those are not your puppies. Those are not yours to protect. They're mine to protect. Now, how do you do that? Well, by setting the rules, by teaching about energy, by showing the dog that you're the provider and protector, that you're in charge, that you have the purpose of being a leader, and that means the dog is not the leader. Building a connection, and of course, good nutrition and good health. Well, when we start looking at the different aspects of why dogs do what they do, a lot of it is just a big misunderstanding between species. We don't think like dogs because we're human. And dogs don't think like humans because they're dogs. So what happens is we basically are setting our dogs up for failure. We're trying to teach them in English or Spanish or Portuguese or whatever language that we speak. But that's just operant conditioning. That's not teaching what's okay and what's not okay. There are certain universal things in this world, rules, if you would, like not going through a red light or a stop sign, like yielding when you see a yield sign, like not rushing onto the highway and cutting people off. There's courtesy and there's etiquette. But beyond that, there are rules. And rules are made to be followed, not to be broken. If you don't set rules for your dog, how do you expect him to understand what you want him to do? So if the moment you get your new dog in, the dog is treated like a spoiled brat, well, then don't be surprised when he starts acting like a spoiled brat. It's really just about making sure you understand what your dog is thinking and just teach him like he's a dog, not a human. Don't do him a disservice. Well, we will be right back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we are talking dog. We're talking about how to get your dog to understand what the rules of your house are. Well, it's so important. Now, we've spoken about rules, and I know everybody's been raving about my new book, Shh Happens, Canine Behavior 101. It's S-H-H-H, Happens, exclamation point, Canine, C-A-N-I-N-E, Canine Behavior 101. You can get it on Amazon. And also, by the way, is make sure you get what's called Amazon Smile. If you're a big Amazon shopper, you can actually help Merlin's Kids to provide more free service dogs and more services to children with autism and other special needs, and to veterans, and to people who have different disabilities and different health conditions. If you go on to Amazon and you do smile.amazon.com, and especially if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can choose your charity. Now, I would love for you to all choose Merlin's Kids, because 100% of everything we get goes directly to program services. We don't pay any salaries. We are not trying to, have executive director make money. It's not about that for us. We are trying to provide more free service dogs. And we were the first to take rescue dogs and turn them into service dogs. When I was doing this 25, 30 years ago, there were people saying, you can't take a shelter dog and turn it into a good dog. Shelter dogs have issues. And the problem was that we were all trying to fight back and say, hey, well, what are you people all breeding Labrador Golden Retriever mixes and Bernese Mountain Dog Lab mixes, and you're getting dogs that are dying at 5, 6, 7 or have horrible hips that need full hip replacements when they're 8 months old? That's not normal. We've got a beautiful supply of shelter dogs that about 1% of all dogs have what it takes to become a service dog. So if we are able to train dogs to be service dogs, and 1% of 4 million dogs who die every year are able to become service dogs, that's 40,000 dogs. 40,000 potential service dogs that we are killing every single year because people don't know how to fix these minor behavioral issues. All right? So I was the one who was pioneering this. I was the one who was fighting and telling everybody, hey, I'm a behaviorist. I know what I'm doing. I'm not the mother of a special needs child, not that that's an easy job, but I'm a behaviorist. I fix bad dogs for a living. I'm uniquely qualified to teach people and to fix these dogs. I know what to look for. I know how to rehabilitate these issues. I'm not just somebody who comes out and goes, oh, I'm going to go rescue shelter dogs, and that's great, and I appreciate those of you who do that. But you can't just take a dog out of a shelter. You have to be a behaviorist. You really have to have such an incredible, extensive behavioral background in order to do that. Otherwise, you're just going to have failures. You're going to have dogs who are fearful, dogs who are aggressive, dogs who are doing things. But I have that background, and what's been great is I've got this amazing team I've assembled of people in 38 states and 10 other countries, and we are United Canine Professionals. What United Canine Professionals does is we go in and we take those dogs from death row, and we rehabilitate the ones that I know what I'm looking at. We rehabilitate those dogs, and we train them to become service dogs and therapy dogs and companion dogs and PTSD dogs and emotional, different kind of emotional support dogs for people with behavioral issues, with diseases, with health conditions, and with different conditions that would warrant a service dog. But we don't need to go breeding more dogs. Now, when I breed to better my breed. I breed to make more beautiful, longer living, better temperaments, better health, and just, in general, better dogs that can go out and win at a dog show and then can go and work with an autistic child. If you're not going to breed to make your breed better, then don't breed. I'm sorry, you're not a breeder. And I'm going to go on my tirade again. You're not a breeder if you're breeding Maltese-Shans or Bijipus or Bullshits, which is a Shih Tzu and a French Bulldog. It's a French bullshit. I mean, the crazy combinations. And are they cute? Yeah, they're cute. But go look at all the dogs who are going to be dying in the shelter. They're equally as cute, and they're going to die because you went out and bought something that and spent thousands of dollars on a mutt. I don't understand why people do that. And then you complain about puppy mills. You don't even realize that your dog's mother and father are probably still living in a puppy mill. Your dog may be 7 years old, and his mother might be having her 15th litter already, because females can have a litter every 6 months, many of them, 6-7 months. So now twice a year she's having puppies every single heat cycle. Well, what do you think that does to them? What do you think that does to their insides? They're not going to be healthy. So, yeah, your dog got out, and hopefully you got some decent health, but a lot of them are very diseased. A lot of them have a lot of health issues because they don't. People who are breeding, quote-unquote breeding, mixed-breed designer disasters, they don't care if you buy another one. They're selling to a pet store. They don't care if your dog has a megaesophagus. They don't care if your dog has behavioral issues. They don't care if your dog has, you know, an undershot jaw or missing teeth or, you know, has an eye that's popping out. They don't care about that. Why don't they care about that? Because they don't care because they're not looking to sell you another dog. On the other hand, I'm looking, when I have my Rhodesian Ridgebacks, I'm looking for the people who are going to have that dog for a lifetime and are going to call me in 15 years and need another dog because they were devastated that their 15-year-old Ridgeback just passed away. That's what I want. Not that I want them to ever pass away, but I want them to live a really long time. And I put a lot of time and a lot of money, a lot of energy, basically heart and soul, into making sure that I breed the best Rhodesian Ridgebacks. I don't breed mixed breed dogs. I don't believe in breeding mixed breed dogs. I think the people who are doing it are just doing a great disservice. Doesn't mean that you can't have, you know, a dog that might not be a bad dog, but as a group, they're not always the best choice. They're actually very often not the best choice. There's something called hybrid vigor. If you had a Rhodesian Ridgeback mixed with, let's say, a Bichon, okay, it would have something called hybrid vigor. That means that because both are purebred, that the resulting litter, which would be half and half, would have what they call hybrid vigor, which means that the dogs, the puppies, would almost be stronger and better than the parents would be. That's called hybrid vigor. Now, there's another one that we affectionately refer to as hybrid chaos, which is when you start breeding a mixed breed mix to a mixed breed mix, and you start creating these things with the, you know, the father's a poodle, the mother's a golden, the grandfather's a golden, the mother's a poodle, the black, and they look like nothing because they're nothing. They don't look the same size. They don't have the same face. Are they furry and a certain color? Yeah. But if you had to do a dog show, you couldn't, because they'd be so out of standard. There is no way of making a standard because they're not a breed. Now, if you want a mixed breed dog, then great. Please go to the shelter or rescue. There are tons of them out there. They need your home. They need a place because they're going to die. Don't go and patronize somebody who's sitting in a garage or in a crap hole somewhere, and that's not the word I want to say, but I will say, and they're breeding these dogs to make money. That's wrong. Don't patronize them. Now, I hope you're going to stay tuned because I'm going to be ranting more when we return in just a moment.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426 and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, you know, we're talking about dogs, and I was talking today with someone who was telling me about a new situation where there's some new group that is training service dogs. They're taking shelter dogs, and they take the dog, and they introduce it, and they have a little, nice little story and all. And then they start training the dog, and miraculously, every single one works out. Amazing. Well, that's not reality. Reality is you don't want to place a dog with somebody when you don't know that that dog is even going to make it through to be a service dog. Remember what I said earlier in the show. About 1% of all dogs has what it takes to be a service dog. Now, that doesn't mean every dog can do that, but it means that about 1% of the average population of dogs would have what it takes to be a service dog. Now, my Rhodesian Ridgebacks actually are probably about 70 to 80% of my puppies, because Wyatt and his mother Willow and grandmother Kira and Rambo, who's another grandfather, they had such amazing temperaments, and I've always bred for temperaments. As a matter of fact, when Wyatt won the AKC Ace Award in 2010, the youngest dog still in history to win that national award, and when Wyatt won, and at the age of two, which was still the youngest dog ever to win, Wyatt was one of those amazing dogs who was really a natural. But it still required a lot of time, and it requires a lot of training. A service dog is not a dog that you feel better when you pet it. That's a therapy dog, or that's just your pet. Who doesn't feel better having a dog lying next to them? Of course you do. That's why we have dogs. But a service dog is so much farther than that. And you have these agencies. I just heard of one. It's, I think it was in California. There's another one in the Midwest, and these dogs are not always even something that is legitimate. And the people, they say, oh, yes, I'm a police dog trainer, or I'm a whatever dog trainer. Well, they're, you know, they don't know what they're doing. You can be really good at training a narcotics dog. It doesn't mean you know anything at all about training a service dog. You have to know about special needs children. You have to know about the disability for which you are training. So if you're training for a veteran with PTSD, you not only have to understand PTSD, you have to understand how to make that work for the dog. So you can have PTSD. Doesn't mean you're going to, I mean, that's assuming you do have it. That doesn't mean that you are going to be able to train a dog because you don't have the expertise. Understanding what it's like to have PTSD doesn't mean that you're able to fix it or to train a dog. For instance, let's just say for a minute, I've had cancer twice. I know a lot more about cancer than even most doctors, unless they're oncologists, because I've been through it, and I've been through it, and I've been through it. But now, as much as I know about cancer and having had cancer, do I know how to cure every kind of cancer? Of course not. I haven't studied that. I'm not taking my knowledge of cancer and saying I can cure cancer in anybody. it's a very different thing. You have to have the understanding, but more importantly, you have to have the knowledge. And what I see going on altogether too much is people who have zero knowledge about how to do any of this stuff, and they go out and they make a rescue and they go, I'm going to train service dogs for kids with autism. I'm going to make $25,000 a dog. And you know what they do? They go out and they get a couple of suckers. And there was a place, in, I believe in California, that just went out of business. They did about six dogs that they charged, I think it was almost $50,000 a dog. I don't know how they got people to pay that. Poor people who paid it. The one lady got a dog. The dog was completely untrained, completely untrained. It was a lab mix. It wasn't even, you know, a purebred dog that somebody spent money on. It was probably they went to a shelter, they got the dog, they probably taught it to walk on a leash, and they said, here's your service dog. Well, the dog is completely untrained. Well, buyer beware, caveat emptor, buyer beware. You have to be very careful what you do. Well, that lady who got the lab mix, at least she got a dog, not that it was a good dog, but at least she got it. The other four or five people who had put all their money in, they didn't even get a dog. It was a bogus company. She took $200,000+ from these poor, unsuspecting people who fundraised and, you know, sold things and, you know, went without so they could get this dog. And they got ripped off. Well, that's what's going on, and I see, and I've said this 80%. I think it's even higher there, but I've looked at it, and it's about 80% of all the service dog agencies that you see are bogus, or they have no idea, and maybe 20% have a clue or are very good and very reputable, and there certainly are a few good agencies. Yes, they're still charging a lot of money, and they're making a lot of money off of people, but at least you're getting a product that is a good product. And I don't have a problem with that. If people are willing to pay $30,000 for something that's good, well, great. But ask the important questions. Ask your agency, if you're looking to buy a service dog, ask them, how many service dogs have you trained for autism? How many service dogs have you personally trained for diabetic alert? How many service dogs have you personally trained to do physical lifts and lift assists? How many service dogs have you trained to be seizure alert dogs? How many? And don't stand for a stupid answer like, well, we've done so many. How many? Give me a number. How many do you do a year? How many are you training right now? You can ask me right now and say, hey, Janice, how many service dogs are in the Merlin's Kids program right now? And I can tell you an exact number of how many dogs are in the works for how many children and what all of the different disabilities or conditions are that we're training for. I will know approximately when they came in, and I will definitely know approximately when they leave within a month or two. Now, that's because I can fire them off, and I can tell you because I'm legit. I know what dogs there are. I can tell you every name of every dog that I've done for the last almost 30 years. But you know what? When people say, well, we've trained dogs for 10 years. Okay, how many have you trained? Oh, too many to count. Well, try. Give me a count. Tell me the last ones. Tell me the last 20 dogs that you've trained. Oh, well, I can't remember. Well, you can't remember because you're lying. So you've got to be very aware and very careful. Sometimes it's okay to train your own dog, but then you don't have a certifying agency, and that's something you have to be very careful. There are these fake, bogus agencies that are certifying your service dog. Now, if nobody is coming out to your home, evaluating your dog, temperament testing your dog, and coming up with a legitimate job that your dog does, it is not a service dog, and don't give these people $200 because they're ripping you off as well. If you have to register online and they're not even going to look at your dog, you think that's legit? Well, the problem is you're making it tough and you're making it very, 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 well, almost illegitimate for everybody else who actually has a service dog that is a real service dog. So please don't do that. If you're doing that, you know, you're about the lowest scum of the earth. I'm sorry, but you are. Because I know I need my dog because I have seizures and I have severe blood sugar issues, and I can't be without him because I fall down. I crack my head open, all right? And there are plenty of people out there who really need them. So don't take away from the people who need them legitimately. Well, all right, I promised to rant and rave a little more. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, I am happy to say that I'm done with my rant for the day. Well, probably not. But I'm just so passionate about it, and we at United Canine Professionals and at Merlin's Kids, we are very passionate about this, because the problem is that the more people who fake it, the more chance there is that you're going to ruin it for the rest of us, and you're going to ruin it for people who truly need a service dog. And it's not a joke. It's really not a joke. There are agencies that literally are fly-by-nights that might have been around for a year or 2 years, and you ask people, well, how long have you been doing this? I've been doing this my whole life. No, you haven't, because you were in a mental disability. You were working for other people, and you didn't even get a dog till 2 years ago, so don't lie. But you have to do due diligence. Now, one of the great ways of telling if your agency is legitimate or not is go back in media articles, and I don't mean some little local mamby-pamby, you know, local newspaper or something like that. I mean, go look, like if you Googled me, Google my name, Janice Wolf, and put in Wyatt Ridgeback. You will have hundreds and hundreds of articles and TV interviews. I've been on ABC probably 8 or 9 times, just on ABC in different states. California, Chicago, Detroit, New York, New Jersey, Florida, I mean, all over the place. I've been in the New York Times, the Daily News, USA Today, a whole article, The Record, the Star Ledger, like big newspapers that, you know, are legit. And the reason I ask you to do that and check people out and check out these agencies or check out people also with a criminal background, make sure, because you're going to be dealing with people. You don't know who you're letting into your house. You could have somebody who's been in jail for theft or for child molestation or anything. You don't know. Check people out. Spend the money on a criminal background check. And Google, this is the easiest time in the world. Look at what we can find out on the Internet. So if you Google me, you'll see everything from the AKC ACE Award to the New York Times to the USA Today to, you know, TV. I was on the Today Show with Kathy Lee and Hoda twice. I was on the Pet Stop with Brian Voynich, good friend of mine, 5, 6, 7 times. I write books with Temple Grandin. I mean, you can look me up and you know I'm legit. Well, if you look up like I did today, somebody gave me a name of an agency that's supposedly doing a service dog for $12,000 for a seizure alert dog for a little boy. And I looked at it and it was just some little, you can see it was a real cheap little starter website, which means they don't have money and they haven't been around long. It's one person who says he's a trainer, has no credentials whatsoever, doesn't say who taught him, who he's affiliated with. So right there, and then there's no success stories. It doesn't say at all like that he's ever even done this. And they even list dogs for sale, and there was nothing on there. So which that means, and it was only one reference to that, that means that that is not a legitimate person. Wait 20 years till that person's done a couple hundred dogs. I've done 1,300 service dogs, 1,300. That's a lot of dogs. And I'm very proud of my record. And every single one, are they all as good as Wyatt? Of course not. But they are all better than pretty much anything I've ever seen come out of anybody else's service dog, quote-unquote service dog agency, because it's got my name on it, and it's got Merlin's name on it. This is so, so important to make sure that you do your due diligence, that you check things out. And if you want to train your dog to be a service dog, you need to have at least two demonstrable tasks that that dog will do for you because you have a disability. It can't be like, oh, well, he comes over and I pet him and I feel better. No, that can be an emotional support animal. But it's a very different thing. And to train an emotional support animal is basically just like training a therapy dog. You know, maybe 10% of dogs can be therapy dogs. It's just a good, you know, knucklehead dog, and it sits there and it's calm, and that's good. It's just a well-behaved dog. But it doesn't mean it's intelligent. It doesn't mean that it knows how to change things. It doesn't mean it can tell you there's a seizure coming. Doesn't mean it can tell you, you know, if you have a health issue. Doesn't mean it can tell if you have cancer. It's just, you know, it's just a good dog. You know, like you have a good dog, and, you know, like my friends have a great black lab named Dylan. He's you know, he's real energetic. He's an older dog, but he's just a black lab. He's just a knucklehead. He's just the best dog in the world. He could be a therapy dog because he's just a good dog, but he can't be a service dog because he doesn't, first of all, nobody in the family has a disability, and second of all, he probably couldn't do that job, but he's a great dog, so he could be a therapy dog or an emotional support animal. But what we look for in a therapy dog or in a service dog, in any dog that's going to be going into public, is first of all, the dog has to be stable. It has to be a confident dog, not dominant, but confident. In other words, the dog has to feel comfortable in any setting. Like Wyatt, Wispa, Savannah, I take those girls or boys out, and we can go through an airport. It's cute because when my dogs go through the airport through security, they already know that if they beep, because sometimes their tail will touch the side of the little scanner, and they know they have to come back. And, I mean, they'll go, it's hilarious, and the people are always trying to grab the leash and tell me how to take my dogs through the airport. And I'm like, nah, they know what to do. They're very well trained with that. So, you know, it's very obvious that my dogs are service dogs, but I've been known to see, as a matter of fact, we just had when I came back from St. Louis, Missouri, about 3 weeks ago. I came through, and I had, I had Savannah with me. And, and this dog, it was supposed to be a police dog, chocolate lab-looking dog. It's like lunging and barking. And I looked at the guy. I've got, you know, the service dog vest on. My dog's completely ignoring it. And the guy's looking over, like waving at me, like, yeah, I know my dog's a fraud, but, you know, hey, thanks. I'm glad your dog didn't try to attack my dog when my dog tried to attack your dog. So just because, you know, somebody's got a dog in a public place doesn't mean that that dog is well-trained or well-behaved or that it is legitimate. 80%, I believe, is a pretty rough number of dogs that are fake. What people are doing nowadays, they want to take their dogs with them. Well, if you want to take your dog and go in a dog-friendly place, go to Austin, Texas. Go to Rochester, New York. Go to Niagara Falls area, because they're very dog-friendly. You can take your dog wherever you want, but please don't take your ill-behaved dog and put a service vest, a fake service vest on it, and pretend that it's something it's not. It's not a cool thing. If you actually traveled with your dog, you would know what a pain in the neck it is. You always wind up having an item, so you're always spending extra money because I've got to take their dog food, I've got to take their bowls, I've got to take a blanket, and I'm usually winding up spending about $50 to $60, $25 for the first and $35 for the second, on all the accessories and accoutrements that I need to travel with my dog. If I'm going to a cool location, I've got his big, thick, heavy blanket, and then the blanket he's going to lie on in the rental car on the way home. And 25 pounds of dog food and maybe some cans. It's a pain in the neck to travel with a dog. It's very expensive. But I have to because I have the physical health requirements. But if you don't need that, please don't fake it. Just don't fake it. That's all I'm asking. Just be respectful of those people who do need it. And when we come back in a moment, I'm going to tell you how you can legitimately train your dog to be a service dog or a therapy dog, or to assist you, genuinely to assist you in things. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. So, how do you make sure that you find the right person to train your service dog? Well, we have people from Alaska to Mexico to Canada to Florida, from East Coast to West Coast, and 10 different countries around the world. So if you want to attend one of our classes, which we do by distance learning and then in person, you can actually contact us at either 855-HI-WYATT, 855-HI-WYATT, or you can go to United, the letter K, the number 9, professionals.com, United, K9, professionals.com, or to merlinskids.org, and we will help you to come into the next class. We actually have our next service and therapy dog class starting. The next service dog class starts in April, along with our next class in natural canine behavior rehabilitation, which we still have a couple of spots open for. So if you're looking for a career training either service dogs or rehabilitating dogs with behavioral issues so that they don't wind up in shelters and rescues, or they don't wind up dead and they don't wind up biting people, you definitely want to contact us. You can call us at 855-HI-WYATT. You can also contact us on the web, and you can complete an application on the Join Our Team section. It's really amazing how many incredible people that we have in United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids. We've got over 470 people now, and it's pretty amazing because United Canine Professionals is the canine behavior company that we are not only up and coming, but we are the standard. We are the ones that others call when they can't fix a dog. We've got people in Alaska. We've got Jesse Seahorn and Muriel Toole and another gentleman up there in the Great Beyond in Alaska. We've got people in California. We've got two Heathers, and we've got Luis, and we've got people all over California. We've got people in the Midwest. We've got tons of people in Missouri, in Texas, in Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico. We've got people all over there. We've got people even in Michigan, in Ohio, in Illinois. We've got people in Florida. We've got everybody on the East Coast from basically, we don't have Maine, but we have everything from Vermont down. And, you know, there's just so many opportunities for people. We have people in the cities in New York City and in the big cities all around the country, and we have people out in the boondocks. We have people who are there from United Canine Professionals who can help you if you have a dog with behavioral issues. They can also help to train your dog to become a service dog or a therapy dog. So give us a call and tell us where you are. You can fill out a contact form on our website on United, the letter K, the number 9, professionals.com. And you can become a canine behaviorist. Now, not everybody gets accepted. We only take about 12 to 15 people per quarter. Sometimes we'll have as many as 18 if we have just an incredibly qualified group. But, you know, we're very selective, and we get about between 150 and 200 people per quarter wanting to apply. Lately, it's been over 200, but we still take the same small number. And, you know, eventually we might offer additional training classes, but right now we're just looking for the quality. We love our 170-some-odd people, and it'll be 180-something people after this next class. So we just want to have the best of the best. And the great thing about that is there is opportunity for people, once they're in the company for a little while, to not only do our national convention every year and learn about cancer detection and disease detection, learn about therapeutic facilitation and behavioral intervention that we do in the schools with cortisol detection dogs. And I can't wait for people to try to figure out how to do the cortisol dogs, because you'll never figure it out. But, you know, we do some really cool things that are cutting edge that nobody else does. We have documentaries being made about us, and we have all kinds of incredible information out there. And I'm very, very selective, because they're my techniques. They're things that I've worked on for my whole life. And I'm not going to give people a little bit of information, and then they're going to go out like they're doing now, where they go out and they say, oh, I heard this lady Janice, and she goes and takes rescue dogs from the shelter and turns them into service dogs. Look, I can do that. I trained my dog when I was 12, and he knows how to sit and lie down. Well, that is not what we do at all. We are professionals, behavior professionals, experts, and masters at what we do. And we want to make sure that everybody, I mean, it's a pretty intensive course. You talk to any of our graduates or any of our people who are certified, they will tell you it's a tough road. It's not that it's that hard, but it's a very intense time, because I'm not going to certify somebody, and I'm not going to allow my team of canine behaviorists to certify somebody who is not going to be the level of what we are now. We don't want somebody to be, okay at it. I want those people to be the best, like Jesse and Laren, Luis, you know, Julianne and the other Jesse and Tyler and Matt and Todd and Melissa. We have three Melissas, and Melissa, and Karen and Kathy and Jill and all of these people that we have who are truly amazing professionals and phenomenal at what they do. So if you want to join our team, we would love to have your application, but just be aware that we only take roughly 10% of all the people who apply, because we want the quality of people. And, you know, you want to join a team of people, like the puppy wants to join. This is little Bruiser. Hopefully he'll talk. And hopefully you have what it takes, and if we accept you, you will make it through, and you will be the best at what you do, because that's all we accept. We only accept the best. We don't accept less, because if you're not good at what you do, you're reflecting on the rest of our team. So if you want to get your dog certified to be a therapy dog or to be a service dog, we have the training classes coming up. You can actually go on the Merlin's Kids website, and it will. You can follow the link, and it'll tell you about our service dog and our therapy dog, our cancer detection dog, and all the different things that we offer. And we offer a lot more that's not on the website, because I'm afraid of telling everybody what we're working on. It's kind of like if I said, yeah, we're working on an amazing new, you know, waterproof bit of clothing that doesn't burn and it doesn't get wet, well, somebody's going to go out there and try to make that up, and they're not going to have the same knowledge, and they're going to make a mistake and either get people killed or dogs killed or get themselves burned up or drowned. So I'm not going to tell you that, but when you get into our team, you will be blown away by the quality of the people we have. We really do. We have a dentist, we have doctors, we have PhDs, we have a ton of people with masters. We have everything from teachers down to veterinarians, to vet techs, to vet students, to professional breeders and some people who are groomers. We have people who've been in management, who've been in marketing, everything. I don't think we have too many people, if any, that don't have college backgrounds and at least bachelor's, if not master's and even PhDs or doctorates or real doctors. So if you think you want to learn, you want to help us, you want to teach and be taught the right way and learn about how we do things and what we do and why we do it, contact us at UnitedCanineProfessionals.com. Call us at 855-4-K9-PROS or 855-HI-WYATT. And you can join one of our upcoming classes. We're also looking for people to foster dogs. And like I said at the top of the hour, we're looking also for people who are big Amazon shoppers. If you're an Amazon shopper, go to smile.amazon.com and sign up with Merlin's Kids, MERLIN'S KIDS, Merlin's Kids. And you can, while you're shopping, you can be donating money. It doesn't come out of your money. That's a great thing, too, to help us. Well, unfortunately, time is up, and I wish you all a very happy, wonderful, wonderful day. Be healthy, be happy, and above all else, go do something good. Go do good just because you do good. Have a wonderful evening. Bye-bye.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.